Visit the saints, he's a sign of loving those whom Allah loves. The blessed shines, the blessed shines, the blessed shines, the blessed shines. The blessed shines, the blessed shines, the blessed shines. To visit the saints is a sign of loving those whom Allah loves. To visit the saints is a sign of loving those.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed Shrines, a special episode, or a series in fact, in the beautiful land of Pakistan. Yes, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, we began in northern Kashmir. We went to Nariyan Sharif, then Kari Sharif, and also today, mashallah, Azza wa Jalla, we have come to the capital of Pakistan, Islamabad. And here, mashallah, Azza wa Jalla, as you can see, the beautiful, not just one green dome, but semi-domes, if you wish, behind me, mashallah, Azza wa Jalla. And this is the mausoleum, the blessed shrine of somebody who is known as Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala. Another wali, another saint, another friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this particular individual, subhanallah, you know, every wali, every saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are all special in their own manner. But something which is beautiful and a distinguishing characteristic of this particular individual is, and subhanallah, it stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time whilst he was, ever since a very, very young age, up until he announced and he told people and he invited people towards Islam, there were some titles Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was famously known for. Amongst these was one being Sadiq. And the second, he was also Al-Amin. As-Sadiq means the truthful. And secondly, Al-Amin means the trustworthy. Now, why is this so important? You see, this played a huge role in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no doubt ultimately in the spreading of the religion of Islam. Why? Because people had known Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever since he was a young child. And there was something which was beautiful about many things. But amongst these things, nobody could deny the fact that nobody had ever witnessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have ever told a lie. Nobody. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he is invited towards Islam, he says, "I have never known you to ever tell a lie." Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was in the court of Heraclius of Rome, he was asked a few questions. He was at that time an enemy of Islam. Initially, he was an enemy of Islam. And he was asked some questions. But he couldn't lie to the king. And the king asked, has this person, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has he ever been known to have told a lie? And he says that never in our entire life have we witnessed him tell a lie. Internally, he believed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true prophet. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, why is it that I am stating this? Why is it that I am mentioning this? because Alhamdulillah, we have the mausoleum of Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala. And one of his distinguishing characteristics is that throughout his entire life, even in his childhood, he was never known to have ever told a lie. Subhanallah, honestly, just this itself. Now remember, there are some people who gain the status of wilaya. There are some who are born as or amongst the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, he seems amongst those who was born a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ever since he was young, it stated he was like no other child. And one thing which is so beautiful and honestly a beautiful lesson to be taken, because lying is something in every era, in every part of the world, in every society, lying is always considered to be bad. Subhanallah, but everywhere we find people to be lying. There are some exceptions, and this one particular individual is one exception to this rule. Subhanallah, to have never ever been known to have told a lie. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for his sake. My dear viewers of Madan Channel, alhamdulillah azzajal, we have come here. The place itself is absolutely phenomenal. Mashallah azzajal. You know, we could hear the chirping of the birds, the scenery itself, the weather is phenomenal. Let's inshallah azzajal go closer. Let's hear a little more of the life of Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
To visit the
Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, his actual name, his birth name was Abdul Latif, and his parents came from Jhelum. They came towards Islamabad. Now Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, there's a beautiful story mentioned which I would like to relate, and then inshallah we shall hear a little more about their life afterwards. It said that they were during the era of the Mughal Emperor Aurangzeb Alamgir. Now Aurangzeb Alamgir, if you look back in history, this you know, is mentioned about him, about his conquest. He's quite a famous emperor. This is Abdul Latif Kazimi rahimahullah ta'ala, also known as Imam Bari. This is one of his many titles, and Imam Bari is possibly his most famous title, what he's famously known as. It said that he was once sitting on a stone, and he was performing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he was sitting, he was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was performing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Aurangzeb Alamgir, along with his entire army, not just an entourage, no, he was a huge Mughal emperor, well known all around the world, along with his entire army. It says that he comes passing by this place where Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala was sitting. Now, Aurangzeb Alamgir, being a king, a person who roams, a person who travels to many places, this along with his army. And this is subhanAllah, this is beautiful. What does he do? He sees that it is late night, and he's feeling hungry, so he asks his ministers, he tells them to arrange some food to be eaten. But then he thinks, no, not just myself, I need to show my wealth, I need to show my greatness, that I am the ruler here. Also, sometimes you have to treat the people. And sometimes you have to give back to the people. So he says, arrange a huge dinner. Arrange large amounts of food. Arrange langar, as we would call it. And feed all the people of the community. In all of these areas, call them all to a big feast. Subhanallah. His ministers, they arrange a huge feast. They call everybody, they invite everybody to come and eat. They come to house, another house, another house, from house to house. They call everybody and people are coming. People are rushing towards the food. But then the spies, they come to this Mughal emperor, Hazrat Aurangzeb Alamgir, and they say to him that we spread a message, we told everybody about the feast, we invited everyone. They all came, except for one individual. This is one person who did not come. Aurangzeb Alamgir says, did you tell him that it was me who invited him? That it was me who invited everyone? They say, yes. They say, yes, we told him that this was your ruling. You have ordered everybody to come. And he's also part of that. He must come too. We ordered him, we told him that this was your order, O king, O emperor. Allahu Akbar. Aurangzeb Alamgir. He was infuriated. He was angry. He was saddened. And he's thinking, I've invited him. I've given the order. You've told him that it was me who gave the order. But he has not come. He has not come to my feast. He has disrespected me. He has dishonored me. He was well known. Yes, he was well recognized. Not that he was feared. But he wasn't a completely ruthless king either. So what he said to the spies, go invite him again. Tell him that I, the king of this place, the emperor of this place, Aurangzeb Alamgir, I am inviting him to a feast and he must come. I am ordering him to come. Again, they go and they find the same person. He is sitting there. He's performing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they invite him. They tell him that the leader of the time, the king of this era, the emperor, Aurangzeb Alamgir, you know who he is. He is inviting you to a feast. He has ordered you to come, you must come. Person says, pass my message on to him, I do not wish to come. I will not come. Again they go back to the king and they say, he's not coming. We have told him a second time. Yes, we told him the first time. And now again we went to him, we've told him that it was you who invited him. We ordered him, we called him, but he said he will not come. Allahu Akbar. This was disrespect, this was dishonoring the king of the time. This could lead to what? A person being punished, so not only severely, being killed. Capital punishment. Then again they return to the king and say, look, we've told him. The king says, okay, or the emperor. He says, okay, but I wish to go meet this person. It was strange, remember. Somebody who was so feared, so well recognized. He was a huge emperor. He was the emperor of the Mughal Empire. And he was inviting somebody to come and eat at his table, to come to his feast. And that person had refused and rejected the invitation. Who is this person? Let's go find out who this person is. He himself comes along with his ministers, his entourage, and he comes to this person. He sees there is this person with a beautiful, illuminating face, and he is sitting on a rock, on a stone, and he is performing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he approaches him, and this was Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, Abdul Latif Kazimi rahimahullah ta'ala. This person, he knows, he recognizes that this is not ordinary individual. This is a person coming, you know, he has an army, he has his ministers. And subhanallah, he sees him coming. The king approaches him. He says to him, do you know who I am? a person says, who are you? The king or the emperor says, I am the Mughal emperor. I am Aurangzeb Alamgir. He says, okay, you're the Mughal emperor, very good. Then he says, do you know that I am the emperor of this land upon which you are sitting? I am the emperor. I am the ruler. I had invited you to come and eat at my feast. I had invited you to come to my feast. I had been kind, respectful. I had ordered you, but you did not come. You refused to come. And he says, yes, I know who you are. Yes, I know you are you claim to be the emperor, the ruler of this land. So the king says, the emperor says, why is it that you refused? Why is it that you rejected my invitation? Why did you not come to the feast when not only once but twice I had invited you? He says, you think you're the king. This is what you think, but the true king, the true ruler is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, if you wish to look, take a look at an empire, if you wish to take a look at a kingdom, then okay, come sit over here. Aurangzeb Alamgir, he sits on this stone. The person who was Imam Bari rahmallahu ta'ala was performing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes him sit down. He sits down. But when he sits down, Allahu Akbar, this rock which he was sitting on no longer appeared to him to be a rock. What he saw around him no longer appeared to be the same. Subhanallah, that rock upon which he was sitting was now morphed into a huge throne. And what was around him, which seemed like barren land, dusty land, that was in fact a palace made of pearls and emerald. Aurangzeb Alamgir, he had seen this, he witnesses this, he sees this, and then he realizes that in fact this person is not ordinary person. I think I have an empire. This is the true empire which this person possesses. Automatically he gets up and he apologizes. He says, I apologize, I'm very sorry, I have disrespected you. And this person, subhanallah, Hazrat Imam Bari rahmallahu ta'ala, he does dua for him. This is a miracle of many miracles of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that the miracles of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are haq, they are true. And we find even within the glorious Quran itself that no doubt this is the mu'jizat, the miracles of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's also the miracles of the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within the glorious Quran we've heard the famous incident of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and his minister Hazrat Asif ibn Burkhiyya, who had such powers which even jinns were not able to gather. No, so he was able to do such things which jinns were not able to do, powerful jinns. He was able to bring the throne of Bilqis from faraway lands, in hidden under palaces, under chambers, in the blink of an eye. And yes, literally the blink of an eye. And this is what we find within the glorious Quran. Alhamdulillahi Azzawajal. This Hazrat Imam Bari rahmallahu ta'ala, who was born in the year 1026 Hijri, so about 400 years ago, this was his miracle. And he was able to do this, subhanallah, by the will, by the power given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was able to do this. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to, yes, move closer, learn a little more about the life of this respected and honorable individual, this saint, this friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Imam Bari rahimallahu ta'ala.
To visit the sense, to visit the sense. The blessed shrine, the blessed shrine, the blessed shrine, the blessed shrine. To visit the saint is a sign of loving those. The blessed shrine.
Many viewers of Madani Channel, subhanAllah, many people have come towards this beautiful mausoleum. People come every single day towards this mausoleum to pay their respects, to do dua. And who do they do dua to? Remember, dua is a form of supplication. Every form of supplication, or every supplication is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then we use a wasila, we use a means. And this means is the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us that when I love my servant, I become the eyes by which he sees, the ears by which he hears, the hands by which he grasps, the legs by which he walks. And wala in sa'alani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if my beloved, wala in sa'alani, if he was to ask me, لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ, then indeed I shall provide and I shall give him whatever he may ask for. And subhanAllah, this is the reason why we come to the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are those who have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are those who have gained closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now another beautiful incident from the life, or a beautiful aspect from the life of Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, was that at the age where people would think it's possibly, you know, a person still young. Generally in the UK, around the world, we are considered to be adults at the age of what, 18 years of age. However, previously, people at the age of 12, 13 were very mature, especially in comparison to this day and age. Now, Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, at a very, very young age, first he sought education. He learned how to recite the glorious Quran. He learned the translation of the glorious Quran. He learned the Arabic language. He learned the tafsir. Yes, he studied the commentary of the glorious Quran, as well as this, the sciences of Hadith Sharif, the nomenclature, the principles of Hadith Sharif, as well as logic, philosophy, and various other sciences. So from a very, very young age, he studied. But how is it that he studied? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam says, من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله تعالى حتى يرجع. That person who he leaves his home, he goes out, he leaves in search of knowledge, then he is on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he returns. Now Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, subhanallah, at a very, very young age, he left his home and he went out in search of knowledge. Now when we go out, where do we go? We go to the closest masjid to us, the closest madrasa to us. We don't think how good is the madrasa, what is the education level of the madrasa in comparison to when we are choosing our schools. We think, you know, we want our child to go to the best of schools, the best of universities. But Allahu Akbar, what happens? He doesn't just go to his local institution, no. But rather, he travels from one country to another country. He went to Mashhad, which is in modern day Iran. He went to Najaf, which is in nowadays Iraq. He traveled to Baghdad, also the capital of Iraq. He traveled to cities such as Bukhara, that in southern Russia, modern day Uzbekistan. So he traveled the world. But what did he travel for? It wasn't for business. It wasn't for trade, it wasn't for worldly gains, worldly profit, for monetary benefits, no. Those who remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who have this love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single companion, every single sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only such people can gain success. And remember, it is part of our faith to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La yu'minu ahadukum حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس أجمعين. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, none of you can become true believers until you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love your very own parents, more than you love your very own children, more than you love the entire world. Remember, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what constitutes love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Love for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for those people who supported, who aided and augmented Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the beloved, and it is by means of respecting and honoring them and honoring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by adhering to the Sharia. This is the only pathway to reach bliss, success and eternal happiness.
The blessed shrines. To visit the saints is a sign of loving those whom Allah loves. To visit the saints is a sign of loving those whom Allah loves.
We are at the mausoleum of Hazrat Imam Bari, rahimahullah ta'ala. It said about them that after having sought apparent, ostensible education, after having learnt about the sciences of the Quran and the Hadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the related Islamic sciences, it said that they then began to exert the efforts in attaining spirituality, in attaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, is beautiful that amongst the people there was a sheikh by the name of Hayat Mir. Now, Hazrat Hayat Mir, rahmallahu ta'ala, who was this person? This was none other than the grandchild of Sayyidi Ghosifa Ghosi Azam, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmallahu ta'ala. Yes, his very own grandchild was the sheikh of Hazrat Imam Bari, rahmallahu ta'ala. And in fact, some people will be thinking, he keeps saying Imam Bari, and you know, few times he said Abdul Latif, Kazimi, Qadiri. Kazimi, Qadiri, these are titles. Imam Bari is also a title, but this is the title by which he was made famous. And how is it that he gained this title? It said he had become an ascetic. He had isolated himself from everybody. He had isolated himself from the people, from the world. He came to a cave and he would spend his time in this cave worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would spend all his time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after a huge amount of time had passed, after this time had passed, Imam Bari rahmallahu ta'ala, or known at that time as Abdul Latif rahmallahu ta'ala, he was sat down, he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Bir Hayat Mir rahmallahu ta'ala, the grandchild of Sayyidi Ghosi Pak, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmallahu ta'ala, it says that he comes to the opening or to the door of the cave and he calls out to Abdul Latif, and then he says to him, now your time of attaining the spirituality in this particular manner and method now has come to an end. It's stated that he hugs him. He hugs him. And my dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was the ability of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could transfer this sense of spirituality, this knowledge. You see, some things are just given, transferred from one person to another person. Other things a person has to attain. Sometimes they have to go through hardship and attain knowledge. But there are other ways, other methods, spiritual methods. You know, a grand sheikh just hugging a person can transfer and pass on this spirituality, knowledge even, this huge amounts of experience of life they have. They're able to transfer this with one mere hug. And this is what the teacher did. And then the teacher also gave him a title. He said, from now, you are going to be known as Imam Bar. Bar, my dear viewers, refers to, well, generally it means land. Bar is that, refers to that which is dry, that which is not moist, that which is a place of no water. And because Hazrat Imam Bari or Abdul Latif Kadhimi rahimahullah ta'ala, because he would spend this immense amount of time in the cave, dedicating his time to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his peer, his sheikh, gives him this title. He says that you are the Imam of Bar, and he later became known as Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala. Let's continue. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We are in the blessed mausoleum of Sayyidina Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, and I would like to, subhanAllah, there is so much to be said about their life, and no doubt about every single wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have gone and visited over the past few days, and we shall be visiting for the rest of our lives, inshallah. Yes, there is so much, but what's important is to take lessons from their life, to learn from their life, in order for us to bring about a change in our lives. And a beautiful thing I'd like to mention, inshallah, a beautiful thing of Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, and this is one which he himself was the epitome of, he himself was the embodiment of. He states that a mu'min, a believer, should only speak that which is in his heart. What does this mean? And subhanAllah, it's beautiful that he was known as such a person. Even as a child, he would never tell a lie. He would never use any type of vulgar or wrong or bad language. Allahu Akbar. He states, only that which is in a person's heart should be spoken. Meaning, firstly, you need to think. Firstly, before you speak, you need to think. You need to think about what you are saying. Don't just speak spontaneously. Don't just come up with anything without thinking. No, think before speaking. And then, what you are saying, do you yourself believe this? Do you yourself believe this? If you do, only then speak it. Only if it is good, only then should you speak. Otherwise, do not waste your time. And it said, those people who waste their time in worthless speech, on the day of judgment, they shall be held back longer. Why? Just because of that useless speech. They will have to answer, even for that speech, which, okay, it's not a sin, it's not wrong, but you will have to answer for every single action you commit. And subhanAllah, from the life of Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, yes, amongst the many things, this is one which is truly outstanding, and one which we must take a lesson from. InshaAllah, we are going to go and pray, meaning in terms of dua, supplication. Remember, dua itself is a form of prayer. So we are going to go perform dua, give our respect, send isali sawab, recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas 3 times, and inshallah azzadal, present the reward to Sayyidi Shaykh Hazrat Imam Bari Abdul Latif Kazimi rahimahullah ta'ala.
The blessed shrine, the blessed.
Alhamdulillah, Azza, we've seen the visuals, the views. We have visited Hazrat Imam Bari, rahimahullah ta'ala, buried in Islamabad. Now, Hazrat Imam Bari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he passed away in the year 1117 AH, that was. And subhanAllah, one thing which is beautiful is that the one who built the mausoleum of Hazrat Imam Bari, rahimahullah ta'ala, one, is that he was in the time. He was of the same era. And secondly, that it was the Mughal emperor of the same era himself, Aurangzeb Alamgir. And just another thing I noted, just towards that side, and hopefully we can take a look, inshallah, azzajal. And this was that Aurangzeb Alamgir, when he met, as we heard, when he met Imam Bari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was so amazed and overwhelmed and taken aback by his splendor, that subhanallah, he gave his own son to him in order for his own son to be taught, and his own son had actually also become a successor of Hazrat Imam Bari and is buried not very far from him too. This was a little about the life of Hazrat Imam Bari rahimahullah ta'ala, and inshallah in the next episode we shall be going, you'll have to watch the next episode to find out. That's all for now. Continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
To visit the saints is a sign of loving those whom Allah loves. The blessed shines.